So today, I'm just going off script a little bit, and I think that'll be okay with you. We're planning on landing the Label Maker series today, and I totally came excited about that message, but we're just shifting gears right now, just a tiny bit. And we're going to try together to seize the moment. Big phrase, you know, in another era was seize the day, carpe diem. And everybody kind of leaned into that for a bit. Seize the day. You got one life, you got one passion, you got one purpose, you got one shot at life. Seize the day. And there are moments that come along in life, and they're defining moments. And in our culture, we have, you know, so much passing us every moment now. So much information's driving by us moment by moment by moment that it really is almost impossible for us, and especially looking at you guys sitting on the front, it's almost impossible to seize moments because you can't hardly even seize it before somebody's texting you about something else, messaging you about something else, notification for this, notification for that. And there's a moment for us to seize today. You know, when Jesus died, he died in between two criminals, one on the right, one on the left. Think about it. They were the two closest people to Jesus when he gave his life for the sins of the world. They were within a breath of him. And one of them seized that moment. And it changed his destiny forever. And the other one, just as close, just the same opportunity, same proximity, didn't seize that moment, and it sealed his fate forever. They both had the same opportunity to seize that moment. We don't know hardly anything about them. We don't know if they had ever met Jesus. We don't know if they knew a neighbor or friend or relative who had been healed by Jesus, knew someone who'd been healed by Jesus. We don't know if they had friends that were there when he did a miracle. We don't know hardly anything about them, but we do know that they both had a moment. And this is a moment. Tonight is a moment. I watched a lot of you come in today. I can see out the front from where I hang out, and I popped in there for a minute, and I like to do that. I don't get to do it as much as I would like, but I watched a lot of you just walk from the street, walk from your car, come from a shuttle, drive up the road, wait for your turn to turn in, back into your parking space like champs. You guys are the best backers into parking spaces I've ever seen in my life. I can't hardly back up a car, but you guys are like whipping in there. There's people everywhere. Backed into that space. And I love watching you come to Passion City Church because I can engage with you right away. I saw you guys coming through the Oval. I was meeting some guys up there behind the glass, and you saw me, but you didn't know I saw you. Didn't I see you? And didn't you see me? But you didn't know I saw you because you're thinking he's busy. He's up there doing something. I'm like, no, I'm the pastor of this church. I watch and notice the people coming through our doors. And I knew when you were coming in today that this is a moment that we must seize as a house. So everybody in Atlanta, Georgia knows that there was a very tragic accident that happened on Wednesday night. That five University of Georgia students were in one of the two vehicles in that accident. And I would dare say everyone in this room knows that four of those young girls, that was the end of their life on earth in that moment. And that the young lady driving the car is fighting for her life even now. And just like you, you know, that either came from a conversation, a friend, did you hear? It came as a text from someone maybe somewhat connected or related, or you saw it online, or came in a news feed or Twitter feed, or you saw somehow the information, you saw it on the news that night. And everybody here intersected with that story. I remember the first text was a friend that was in a meeting I was in and had connections through Young Life and said there's been an accident and Young Life people were involved and college students lost their lives. And it sounds like the person said all of them had ties to it, the Atlanta metro area, and my heart just sank inside of me. And I took a big deep breath like a pastor would, like a leader would, and I said, oh God, have mercy on these families. And then I began to think, you know, is how is this gonna connect to our house? And maybe within a half hour, I got a text. And so one of the door holders who would have been in the middle of it all yesterday, who's a mentor in Flourish, who serves on our resources team here, who's very much a part of carrying our house. Kathy would have been just front and center at us yesterday, but Kathy and her husband, their 19-year-old daughter, Christina, was one of the young ladies who went to heaven on Wednesday night on that road outside of Athens, Georgia. And I think for us all, we have a privilege tonight of doing what only we can do, which is praying extraordinary prayers of faith to the God of heaven, that he would intervene supernaturally in the lives of these families as he is doing today. But we could be a part of lifting them up to Jesus today, not just feeling sad, not just seeing a news blip, not just, you know, repeating to our friend, oh, did you hear? Oh, that's really sad. Oh, my friend knows them, or I have a sorority sister who knew some of them, or I heard this or that or the other. But we actually can do more than that tonight, and we can lift them up to Jesus. So on Friday, Shelley and I had the extraordinary privilege, probably the most extraordinary privilege of being a pastor, is to be invited into people's pain. And we had the honor of sitting at the Samaria house in their front room with their family on Friday. To carry the hope of Jesus. To shed tears of sorrow, and a lot were shed that day. To laugh uproariously, I don't even know why I use that word, but there was some pretty strong and stout laughter. There was moments where we just held each other. There was moments where we prayed for each other. There was moments where we told stories about Christina's life because I didn't know her. And there were stories where we could hear about her life and her legacy. And there was moments of silence and moments of joy. And there was highs and lows and everything in between. There was shock. There was grief. There was Jesus. And I can't move beyond that. And I don't think God wants us to tonight. And so before we shift, and I am going to share a little bit tonight, but just from my heart and from God's word, because God has a message for all of us to seize in this moment, and I want to lean towards that tonight. We can come around Label Maker in another time. We can do that on another day, but today God has a message for you, and he has a message for me, and I want us to seize that moment. But before we do that, would you be willing as a house, as the people of God at Passion City Church, to pray for these families with me tonight? And you may not have known Kathy. A lot of you maybe do know her, or known her through Flourish or mentoring her. Christina had a stepsister who was a mentee in Flourish here. Her brother Nick is part of our college community group. Christina and Nick were both at Passion 2016. Christina, of course, was a family group leader in her community group because wherever she was the leader. And so if a community group at Passion was going to break down into 8 students and they were going to introduce themselves and then pick a leader for the next 3 days, of course they were going to pick Christina to be that leader. And so these people are woven into our story. And whether you knew them face-to-face in close proximity or not, they're our family, and so we're going to pray for them, and we're going to pray for all the families tonight. And so the names of all these young ladies are going to be on the screen. I ask our guys if they would just put them up. And Christina, Kayla, Brittany, and Hallie, they're in heaven. It's beautiful listening to Christina's mom talk about the friendship, the closeness of these sisters in Christ and how they love Jesus. And all four of them are now in heaven with Jesus, fully alive and finally home. Agnes is struggling with life and with recovery, and we want to just pray for every family in this moment. And so you may have come in tonight. A lot of people come into Passion City Church, and you're new to church, and you probably may have come in tonight thinking, I'm not ready to pray anything, and that's okay. When we pray in a moment, just close your eyes right where you are. You don't need to worry. But if you came with a friend or a classmate or husband or wife or neighbor, and you'd love to pray for these families, could you just maybe let God put a family or several families on your heart? And for a few moments together, could we just pray? And could we be the church today lifting up our brothers and sisters, these families who are struggling tonight? The rhythm for a lot of these young ladies, I know that Christina's celebration service will be tomorrow night. I know a few more are coming on Tuesday. So that's the rhythm these families are in right now, that stage of wanting to fall apart, but yet in some way God holding you together so you have the strength and the energy and the joy and the clarity to celebrate the person you love. And so can we pray for them right now? Can you just let God put someone on your heart? Can you find someone nearby? And then just as the people of God in the house of faith, can we pray up to the God of heaven and believe for great things? Jesus, we thank you tonight more than ever that you stretched out your arms and gave your life for each of these precious girls. And so we know tonight that you are the God who loves them. You are the God who gave your best for them. Father, we lift our hearts up and lift them up to you in Jesus' name. We thank you and praise you that you're a good, good father. You're a good father on the clearest day, and you're a good father in the darkest night. You're a good father when everything makes sense to us, and you're a good father when we can barely see through the murkiest glass. You're a good father when things unfold in our way, and you're a good father when things unfold differently than we ever dreamed or imagined. And we know this because maybe we don't understand everything, but there are some things that we do understand. And we know that there is a cross standing in the middle of this story today, and that cross tells us that you care, that you understand, that you feel the pain, that you understand the moment. And that cross tells us that you are a big enough God, a powerful enough God to take what seems like the worst and to paint in royal blue. God, thank you for salvation and life that instantly carried precious young women into what they were made for and who they were made for. But so much hurt is left behind. So much brokenness is left behind. And I thank you that you are the God of all comfort. I thank you that your grace is not only enough for everyone who loved them, everyone who is staggered by their death, everyone who is related to them, family to them. I thank you that your grace is not just enough, but your grace is more than enough. Your grace is super abounding more. And I thank you that as they have now come to Sunday, when some I'm sure didn't think they would make it through Thursday, I thank you that you are going to bring them through. You are going to be enough for them. As we have experienced, many of us in this room have been in the bottom of the valley of death. And we have found you there. We have found you closer than anything we've ever known in that place. We have found you nearer to us than any time we've ever known. We've felt you lifting us, holding us, carrying us in those days, because that's what you do. I thank you that you are close to the brokenhearted and you draw near to those who are crushed in spirit. And I know you're doing that today. So we just proclaim life and not death. We proclaim the goodness of God. We proclaim a story of triumph and a story of victory in this moment. We thank you that Jesus was shining. He is shining. And Jesus, you're gonna shine through the lives of these young ladies. And we pray that the kingdom would come. We pray that people will come to life, that eyes would be open, that the University of Georgia would awaken, that the gospel would go forward, that people will be brought from death to life, that in death there would be life. There would be more life in death than there was in life. And that's what you do. And so we yield to you, trust you, believe you, but we lift these families, these friends to you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Passion City Church is a big church, but it's not too big. And I just, you know, in seizing the moment, what do you think? I mean, what are you thinking right now? I mean, what do you think right now? You think, well, I didn't know them. That happens all the time. A year ago, it was students from another school on their way to Savannah. It's, next week, it'll be somebody else. You know, interestingly and sadly, in a way, if it had been one student from Georgia who had been in an accident and come to the end of their earthly life on Wednesday night, it would have been a tragedy and a heartbreak for their family, maybe a few class members and some friends, but it wouldn't have been news all over the state of Georgia and all over America, and it wouldn't have reached to places around the world. But when four people come to the end of earthly life in one moment, everybody hears about it. But what do you think in that moment? You know, the world struggles. We all struggle, but the world really struggles. Because the world can't see. But I want to encourage you tonight. I want to want to encourage us tonight, we're not the world. That's not an adversarial statement. You know, us versus them. It's just a descriptive statement that all of what we've said the last few weeks is that there was a moment where we put our faith in Jesus, many of us in this room, and we became alive spiritually. And in that moment, we began to gain spiritual sight. And when you do, you see everything different. It doesn't mean we're better than the world. Please understand that. The frustrating part is we've put our faith in Jesus and been made alive in him. And in some ways, people in the world who don't know Jesus are actually better than us. Is that not the most frustrating thing of all? I mean, some of our neighbors are better neighbors than we are, and they don't even know Jesus. Is there anything more frustrating than that, to have a nicer neighbor than you? And they're like, no, we don't go to church. We really don't believe in God. And you're like, how can you be nicer than me then? Have you ever noticed that some of your classmates study harder than you? And they don't even know Jesus. They don't even have ultimate purpose. They're not even alive. They don't even know what the thing is about. And yet they're over there studying harder than God's people, who should be absolutely leveraged to do their very best in every single endeavor that God calls them to do. There are people who don't know Jesus that are smarter than you, that are funnier than you, that look better than you, that are actually doing more good for the common good of the world than you're doing. So we're not saying today that we're better than anybody, thank you very much, because it doesn't work that way. But we are saying that we are alive in Christ today, and we can see things that we couldn't see before. We can see things that we could not see before. And those things help us see differently in moments like this. My heart goes out to the world when four young college students come to the end of earthly life on one night. And the world struggles. The newsmakers struggle. The article writers struggle. Your friends at work, your classmates, everyone struggles. And this is the best that the world can make of it. They will say something, one of these three or four phrases. They'll say, what a tragedy. And then it will follow in this way. They were so young. Their lives were cut short. They had their whole lives ahead of them. How sad that they had their whole lives ahead of them. And now their lives have been cut short. And that's what a world does that can't see. Now please understand, for all of the people, their friends, their family left behind, it is a loss. Oh, they're not lost. So don't let someone say, well, I'm sorry that you lost your friend, or I'm sorry that you lost your daughter. No, we didn't lose four girls. When you lose something, you don't know where it is and you don't know how to find it. And we know exactly where they are and we know where to find them. So they're not lost. We suffer the loss. Their families suffer the loss. Their friends suffer the loss. And there is a gaping hole. There's a huge hole and a massive adjustment. There's all kinds of ways it works itself out in real life that you never think about. Like, what do we do with the room? How long do you leave it to be the room? What, there's a chair that's at the table, and what do you do with the chair? Do you leave the chair? How long do you leave the chair? When do you move the chair? There's a 100 events in life that they're supposed to connect in all these different ways, and that doesn't happen, and it's an adjustment, and it's a hole, and it's a massive struggle to overcome. But we see it differently. And when you look at it through the eyes of God, you understand that God never promised one of us a set number of days. Oh, he knows all of our days. But he never promised you 60 days, 60 years, 70 years. He never promised you that. What he did was he said, I want to use you on earth for a purpose. And I think that's seizing the moment. It's asking the question today, do you know what your purpose is on earth? And are you living out the purpose for which God put you on planet Earth. When Jesus died, he was 33 years of age, and no one will ever say his life was cut short. In fact, he himself said, "It is finished." Why? Because he fulfilled his purpose on earth. 33 years. But in fact, it was really only 36 months that he publicly declared that he was the Son of God and that he had come to do what only he could do, to give his life for the sins of the world. And he fulfilled his purpose. And in his 33rd year, his life ended. He never married. He never had kids. He never took his little boys to whatever sports they did in Nazareth. He never got to experience all these amazing things in life. And do you think he cares about any of that? Or do you think he knows he did what his Father put him on earth to do? And he fulfilled his purpose. Meeting Christina through her family on Friday was absolutely extraordinary. God is a God of mercy, and his mercy always bleeds into our darkest night. We sat down, and Christina was a worship leader, and her mom was telling me that when she was in high school at Birmingham United Methodist Church, she was a part of a worship band there called Rise. And so somehow, I don't know why, but I searched YouTube for Rise, because I mean, there's got to be something, you know, I mean, out there. And sure enough, there's a YouTube video of the Rise worship band when these girls were, looks like high schoolers, and they're just amazing. And there's Christina in the midst of them, and they're leading worship. There are a few guys in the band, but it's mostly fronted by these four girls. The guys are optional. The girls are really the thing in this band. And you should go and search it tonight and just to watch it. And her mom said, you know, Christina wrote a lot of songs, and we don't know really how to access most of them. We think maybe some may be on her phone, some may be in voice memos, or some may be on her computer, but we're, you know, obviously not anywhere in a frame of mind to start going near her things right now. But we do have this one song that she wrote last summer that we all have on our phones. Would you like to hear it? And I said, oh yeah, we'd love to hear it. And Christina's mom put her phone on the table in the middle of where we were all sitting in their front room, and she pressed play, and I thought, oh my goodness. Hey, Christina, she had something on her life. And she started playing and singing. Immediately, everyone started sobbing. I think they've already listened to the song 100 times before we got there that afternoon, but immediately, it's just like, oh, so hard. And so there are a lot of tears, and I don't know the song. Obviously, she wrote the song, and I'm trying in my mind to hear every word, and I'm crying. Shelly's crying. Everyone's crying. And so I asked, and we got the words. And here was Christina leading worship for her family as they walk through the hardest time of their life. And she's saying, I tell the seas when to roar and mountains when to fall, yet I still know you, the hairs on your head, the depths of your heart. So be still, my child, and know that I am God. Cast your worries and doubts on me, for I hold your heart. With me by your side, you have nothing to fear. Take courage. Don't be afraid. I am here. So be still, my child, and know that I am God. Cast your worries and doubts on me, for I hold your heart. So just let go of control. Trust in me, and let me be your cornerstone. Just let go of control. Trust in me. Let me be your cornerstone. Be still, my child, and know that I am God. Cast your worries and doubts on me, for I hold your heart. And your dad, Davey, said, did you see her last Instagram? It's like, no. And so he read it. Christina was in a wedding in Memphis this past weekend, and on the Sunday of it, she wanted to talk to the world. You know how that works on Instagram? You know, like one Instagram, you got a straw up your nose. Another Instagram, the biggest, greatest cheeseburger ever made. And then the other Instagram, you're like, I'm ready. I need to talk to the world right now. And so you know, it's like this. And Christina wanted to talk to the world. At the end of a semester, she'd struggled with class. She'd had ups and downs in relationship. She'd been burnt out. She was weary. And she said, we all are there in life. I'm just paraphrasing. And when everything we count on is fragile, we can either stress or we can remember that we have a God who loves us and is for us and who is everything we need. In her beautiful, eloquent way, she was a great writer. She told the world that Jesus was enough for her. And I said to Nick, her brother, I said, how amazing is God that your last Instagram from Christina is not like, you know, some chicks all, you know, hanging out, or hey, look, here we are at the whatever, whatever concert, or blah, 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 blah. It was such a significant post. And he goes, oh, Christina only posted significant posts. It's the kind of person she was. And her mom jumped in and said, yeah, at the vigil at Milton High School last night, more than one of these young ladies attended. She said, the principal of the school came to me and he said, I wanted to tell you something. He goes, when I came here as the assistant principal, I came from another place. I didn't know anybody here. I felt completely isolated and alone. I was second guessing everything about being here. One day I was in the cafeteria and I was standing there doing what the assistant principal does. And your daughter walked up to me and she said, you're new here, aren't you? And I said to her, yes, I am. And she said, well, has anyone welcomed you to our school? And he said, actually, no. And she said, well, I'm Christina Samaria, and I'd like to welcome you to our school. And he told her mom, that interaction with your daughter changed the trajectory of my time here, now the principal of that school. Do you know what that means? It means that that night, as she heard story after story of people coming up to her at Milton High School vigil saying, I just wanted to say thank you to you. Your daughter introduced me to Jesus. I just wanted to say thank you to you. Your daughter is the one who told me about Jesus. I just want to say thank you to you. I was the kid nobody talked to, but your daughter came and found me. And not only did she talk to me, but she told me about Jesus. I just want to say thank you because I didn't have a friend in this place, but your daughter became my friend. And what you knew instantly and what you knew by the word worship that she wrote and by the Instagram that she posted, you know this 19-year-old girl got it. You knew that she understood something and knew she'd locked into something. She'd connected with someone and she was living her life on purpose. She was living her life with a purpose. And in a heartbeat, in a moment, God said, Christina, come home. And she was there. And if you said to her right now, Christina, we're so sorry. We're so sorry you didn't finish the term. You worked so hard spring term, but you didn't get to finish and take your finals and finish up the semester. So sorry you didn't get to do what you'd planned on doing this summer. So sorry you're going to miss that and miss the other. She would say, do you not understand that Jesus Christ is standing right in front of me? I had barely known him on earth, but now I see him completely, totally, freely, beautifully. He's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. And I loved earth. Earth was amazing, but you have no clue how beautiful he is. And you tell her, I'm sorry, your life was cut short. And she might say, no, it might be your life that's cut short because you might get 79 years and never make a difference on planet Earth. I had 19 and I've got people in my wake who've come to know Jesus because I was on planet earth. We get it backwards when we let the world write the story, people. And there are people who are gonna say, how sad for those young girls, and they're gonna live to be 70 and do nothing. And they're gonna realize their life got cut short. Because life isn't about length of days, it's about purpose, and it's about fulfilling what God put you on earth to do. And listen, we've had celebration services in this place in our house for a two-year-old, for a young UGA student. And do you know what? They all had purpose in the economy of God. And it's about us trusting God to live out that purpose in our lives. Tomorrow night, and some of our team will be part of Christina's celebration tomorrow night, and I would imagine there'll be a lot of people there. It's one of the beautiful things of going to heaven when you're young. A lot of people come. I'm not saying it's bad to live to 89. It's looking a lot better to me. But can I tell you something about living to 89 as your pastor? And I mean this kindly if you're 88. Can I tell you something about living to 89? There's not gonna be anybody at your funeral. No, I'm not kidding. I mean, there'll be 37 people there, depending on how big your family is, because everybody else will be gone. I mean, your husband will be gone. Clarence will be gone. Claire will be gone. Your second wife, she'll be gone. The other people, they can't come from the home to be there. I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be funny. There won't be anybody at your funeral when you're 89. Unless, of course, small caveat, you still had strength of heart and strength of mind, and you chose to invest in teenagers in your 80s. And there'll be a lot of people at your funeral if you do that. But if you leave Earth at 19, there's going to be a lot of people there. And the beautiful thing about it is that they won't even need a preacher, because they've already got one. And her name's Christina. And she will tell them all. She'll tell them all that Jesus was enough for her. What are you going to tell him? What are you going to tell him at your funeral? You're like, I don't know, I have a lot of time to work that out. I got plenty of time to think that one through. But what about you high school kids? What if it's tomorrow? What are you gonna tell the kids? Because hundreds of them are gonna come, maybe thousands. We used to work next door to a funeral home for years. Some of us actually parked in their parking lot on most days. Louis Jones Funeral Home. It's Louis and Louis. And here would come a funeral and you'd be like, 29 cars. Older person passed away. And here would come another funeral, and they'd be in their lot and our lot and the three lots across the street and the church's lot behind us and some down the street, and you'd be, high school kid, died. You're gonna come by the hundreds if it's you. What are you gonna tell them? Oh, well, my friends will talk for me. Well, what are they gonna say? Oh, she was so funny. We had so many good times together. I remember we went down to Seaside one summer and we all got snow cones and it was so great, and I didn't have money with me and she bought me one. That's the kind of person she was. She was just so generous and so kind. I want to read this text that she texted me and just said, I want to encourage you today. And she was so encouraging. They're going to say, oh, he was really funny. He was He was a standout. He was this, he was that, he was the other. Is that what they're gonna say about you? Is that what you're gonna preach at your funeral? That you were funny, that you were caring, that you were a nice person, that you did something good for somebody? Or are you gonna preach at your funeral, death is not the end of me because I love Jesus in life. I knew Jesus in life. I believed in something bigger than life. And you can find it. Come read my journal. Come read my Instagram. Come read my phone. Read my emails. Check in on what I was saying to the world because I've already made it clear where my heart is with Jesus, and I've got a message ready for the world. Maybe you're not a worship leader. Maybe you didn't record a song. Maybe you didn't write a really well-written, well-thought-out Instagram, but where is it on record that you love God? Where is it on record that you're in love with Jesus? Where is it on record that you see things differently than everybody else sees them? And where will your family go to instantly say, at this celebration service, we may have a preacher, and we may have a few family members, and we may have some people say nice things, but we're gonna let them tell their own story of faith in God. Because here's the thing, I've said it before, I'll say it till I can't say it anymore. We all preach our own funeral. Oh, you can't hire a pastor to do that. You're gonna preach your funeral, and I'm gonna preach my funeral. And people are gonna come through the door either happy or sad. Oh, brokenhearted either way, but they're either gonna come through the door going, man, this is the greatest day of his life. God, you gotta help us. God, this is the best day of her life, but you've gotta help all of us. This is not about death, this is about life. This is not about defeat, this is about victory. This is not about loss, this is about gain. And you're gonna be the one who sets the attitude, the atmosphere in your own funeral service. You're gonna decide whether it's a party or a pity. You are. You're like, no, my mom's gonna be hysterical. My friends will be crazy. No, no, no. You are gonna help them through the hardest day of their life. And I just wanna make sure today that we don't have pity on these girls when they might be having pity on us. And saying, oh, you're sad for me? Don't be sad for me. Don't be sad for me. Please love my family. Please don't forget my family. Please come around and hold my family. But don't be sad for me. I didn't miss anything. The world said they had their whole life before them, and they say, no, I have Jesus before me. I got everything I need. So can you give us just a tiny bit of anchor? Yes, I'll read you what I read to the family. Psalm 138, verse 8. And I'm reading out of my translation, which I know some of you figured out by now is either illegal or outdated. It's an NIV that they don't make anymore, and they've updated it. They didn't consult me or ask me. They just did it, and this one's no longer available. So I'm sorry, and I know it's a pain, but hey. And this is what it says in this particular translation. It's different in others, but the gist of it and the meaning of it is the same. It says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. King David, when he wrote that, what he was saying was, God, you wove me together. You knitted me together. You set me in motion. You made me everything I am. Don't forsake what you've done in me. Because I know God will fulfill his purpose for me. And that's why we say no life that's lived for Jesus is ever cut short. We say thank you, Christina, for living your purpose on earth and fulfilling what God gave you to do. Do you think that when Christina, in a heartbeat, went into the presence of Jesus, that he said to her, almost well done? No. Do you think he said, well, I'm gonna be able to give you a small crown, but not a big crown because you're gonna only get a 19-year-old crown? Or do you think he said to her, You are amazing. Thank you. You did good. You did good. Well done. You are a good and a faithful servant. And she gets an equal share of forever. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. If you're a couple here and you lost a baby before birth, that baby's purpose was fulfilled. You're like, how could it have been fulfilled? It was just pain. It was hardship. No, God used that precious little life, that brief little life, to refine, to encourage, to ultimately lift up, to point up, to push people toward Jesus, to cause people to hope in God. A 2-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 30-year-old, God has a purpose, and you can be in that purpose right now. Or you can miss the moment. You can be that close to what God is doing and completely miss the moment. And I just pray tonight that we'd be able to seize, we'd be able to seize this moment together. And so I wonder if there's anybody who's feeling some shifting happening right now, big shifting happening, like seismic shifting happening right now. And you're asking this question, what am I doing? What am I doing? And the answer is not a lot. I'm kind of just cruising through. I'm trying to get by. I'm just sort of like, you know, it's kind of week to week. They turn into month to month, and that's turned into year to year, and I don't really know. And I'm telling you, this is your moment to say to Jesus, I want to be whoever and whatever you want me to be. Can I just say this? We're closing. You have a stewardship. You do. You have an opportunity. You're like, no, I don't. Yes, you do. You're in a place. You're in a room nobody else is in. You're on a platform nobody else is on. You have relationships nobody else has. You have an aptitude that's unique simply to you. You have a past, a history. You got good and bad back there that can be leveraged for the story of God. You've got influence. You have a sphere. You have a moment. You have a voice. You have trust with some people, maybe not a lot of people, but someone trusts you. Someone's looking to you. Someone is counting on you. Someone will believe in you. Someone will hear you who will never hear me or anyone else in this room. You have a place that God has put you in, a stewardship of time that God has given you, an opportunity that God has entrusted to you. And what are we doing? We're concerned about whether people like us. We're concerned about whether we fit in. We're concerned about whether we're popular. We're hung up on all the things that happened to us last year and the year before that and the year before that. And we're missing the moment. We're missing the opportunity to write a funeral message that we're gonna like at our own celebration service. And we're missing the moment to say to the world, you know what? Honestly, it doesn't matter what you think about me. What matters is that you know Jesus. And goodness gracious, how sad to think that anybody who's been this close to Jesus would not say, save me. Save me from my sins. I confess that I need a Savior. And Jesus, I believe it is you. I capitulate. I surrender. I bow down and I confess that you alone are Lord. And I say to you, have mercy on me, son of David. Wash me clean. Forgive me of all of my wrong. Put your spirit in me. Bring me back to life again. Connect me to something bigger than myself. I want to put my trust in Jesus.